Come and explore the inner world of being human with me. This is the Inner Space Explorer podcast with Tarure Gatere. I am super excited to share this episode with you guys. I have been sitting on this for a few weeks, just dying to talk about it because I think this is one of the coolest things I have done. So in June of 2023, I was approached by a very good friend of mine and someone that I've partnered with on different projects, Onyango Tieno, aka Rick's Poet. And he was inviting me to be a part of a show that he was holding in July called Nothing Underneath, where he was going to be sharing sex stories. He was inviting people as guests also to come and share their stories. I have been on stage before. I have even told my personal story on stage before, but I had never sat or stood in front of a live audience and told a story about sex before. This seemed like a really great opportunity for me to get out of my comfort zone and try something new. And so I agreed to do this. And I didn't have to think hard about the story that I wanted to share because I had connected with this beautiful person and had some really amazing experiences with them. Even during our connection, I had already known that I was going to share things around our experiences because to me, they were just that good. And I knew, I was like, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about what I'm experiencing. And so I had gotten their consent to share content around our experiences. And graciously, they had very freely and openly agreed for me to do so. But of course, I wanted to protect their privacy and their identity because just because I put myself out there the way I do with these things that I talk about attached to my face and my name doesn't mean that everyone has the same liberty or the same desire to do so. So even as I was writing the story, I changed a few details within the story to protect their identity. I also took creative liberty with some of the aspects of the story. I get to the event and I have my story printed out on sheets of paper and I'm nervous as all hell. I'd even been asking people around me, like, you know, some of the people who are participating in the event, do you think it's okay if I get up on stage and I just read the story from a piece of paper? And some of them are like, yeah, I mean, go ahead, just do what feels comfortable for you. But I ended up speaking to a very good friend of mine who's an amazing poet as well and an incredible performer. And they had said to me, don't do that, Tarure. This is a story that you know. You wrote it from your mind. You know it. You know it fully. Just get on stage, get into your body and tell it. Just tell it from your heart. And I was like, oh hell, okay. Let me go ahead and do this. So I got on stage. I acknowledged my nervousness, which is something that I do because when you're able to call out your feelings, you actually reduce their power. So I got on stage and I told people, you know what, I'm actually very nervous, but I'm here and I'm going to tell my story. I sat in front of that audience and I started to talk and I told a story. It was a performance. So of course, there were times when I was performing the story more than just telling it. And I took a few more creative liberties during the telling of the story, but I had such a good time. The audience at Nothing Underneath was wonderful. Just so engaged and willing to participate. And after that performance, I ended up showing the story to the person that I was connecting with and they loved it, but they also asked me for the opportunity to be able to share their side of the story. In their own words, they said, there are certain details that I missed out and they call them the best parts. I didn't talk about the best parts of the story, but also they wanted to share their perspective and they'll also give their reasons during this episode. And I don't want to speak for them, but I was so excited and so honored to be able to have the opportunity to have them come on with me. Yeah, it was just a wonderful experience. So that's what we're going to be sharing today. And without further ado, here is the episode. The way that this whole thing began was Rick's invited me to be a part of his show, Nothing Underneath. And he asked me to tell a sex story. When I went through the library of memories in my mind, the story that stuck out was this particular one that we're going to be sharing today. I didn't tell you at the time that I was going to be telling the story,
Mm-mm.
although I had gotten your consent to share things, right? But it was a fun thing to do. You know, when I think about it, even when I was writing the story, I was like, this doesn't sound real. Like, it sounds like some kind of made up fantasy type of thing. So I'm glad that I get to do this where now you get to share your perspective of how things actually went. So rather than me telling the story again, what we're going to do is you will share the background of the story and then we'll share it back and forth so that it's a more complete story. Did you choose a name?
No, I did not.
So what do we call you?
I don't know. Those Cornelius, this John.
We'll go with Cornelius.
You said Zachary.
Cheer to go with Zachary.
Zach.
Zach.
No, this goes Zacchaeus from the Bible.
So, what made you reach out to me, or like what was the journey before you reached out to
I had just had a few friends over at my house, and we had sort of like a function at my house, and one of my closest friends and his girlfriend stayed over, and they were in a different room, and I was alone in my room. And I had sent him a picture, a profile on Twitter, and he said, "Come on, she's not pretty." And I said, "Why are you being rude? Like, that's not fair. It shouldn't be like that." And he said, and he sent me a profile. And that profile happened to be yours. And I saw your profile, I saw your profile picture. And I got up out of my bed, walked down the hall to the room they were staying in. And I said, "Who the fuck is that?" And he started laughing. And that's the beginning of this little, I'd call it an obsession with your Twitter persona. And yeah, that's how it started.
Okay, so what's the time frame between, between the time that you got to see my profile and, and you reached out to me?
So when I got to see your profile, initially it was just like I went straight to your media and I was like, "She's hot, she's really attractive." You have this smile about you that just draws somebody in, and your eyes make someone feel like they know you. So it's like this weird familiarity. Like you feel like you know this person, such a welcoming face, right? And then I started reading through your tweets and what you talked about, and then I realized your name was Inner Space Explorer. And I was like, "Wow, this is a really interesting name." So it quickly went from there's this really beautiful girl, woman, sorry, that I saw on Twitter, to every time you'd tweet, I was so interested. I'd read the comments, I'd go through all your stuff, I'd follow you on Instagram. I was just really interested in who you were and exploring you, the Inner Space Explorer. So that's where it started. And then 3 4 months of like, "Oh, she just posted this picture and disturbing my friend and saying, she's amazing." And then I told him, "I'm going to slide in her DM," and he said, "Go." And as we say amongst each other, "Go cooler bricks." So I wasn't expecting a response. And so one day I drafted a message and I said, "If there's ever going to be a time where you're going to be that guy that looks at Twitter influencer and shoots your shot, knowing you're going to lose, this is going to be it." So I pressed send and I didn't expect anything in return. And that was 4 months after I first saw your profile.
You didn't think that I was going to respond.
No, from your Twitter persona, it was clear that you had a lot of suitors, various genders. And so I felt like it would just get lost in the whole thing. And I'm not a social media guy, so my socials are very pathetic, and I wasn't expecting much, but wait, Actually, before that, there was something that happened.
What happened?
You posted on Twitter something about a dog.
Yes.
But you posted something on Twitter about a dog, and
Yeah, that's what I remember. I've wanted to be a dog parent for the longest time. But on Twitter, I'm constantly like sharing dog videos and talking about dogs. And so there was this one, I can't remember, I think I tweeted like by the end of this year, I'm going to get my dog or something like that. And then I remember, which is really interesting because I don't look at my message requests often. I don't even know how I noticed this one. But I remember checking my requests and then seeing a message. I can't remember what it said. Should we open the
Yeah, you should open
But you played a very unfair game
it.
because you sent me a picture of your sweet looking dog, and that was just a cheap shot.
Was I can't say I did it without bad intention.
So I'm opening a Twitter chat. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so you said you wanted to get a dog that year, and I responded with a picture of my little one and encouragement telling you that it was probably one of the best decisions you could make.
We chatted a bit about dogs, and you asked me what breed of dog I was going to get. And then you told me how you adopted your dog. I was about to say her name. And then the conversation ended there.
Yeah, I think I was very quick to leave it. I didn't want to prolong my welcome, and I think after that I was a bit sad that I did. And then that's when the wait happened. Until now, I finally mustered up the courage to come and state my intentions inside your DMs and join the fray. The long queue of people trying to get your attention in your DMs. So yeah, so I was told by my buddy, Gokula Bricks, and I wrote a message, and I wasn't expecting much, but there you go, you responded.
Yeah, you asked me out to dinner.
Yes.
It was a very sweet message. And I could feel the nerves behind it because I think the way you started it was like,
Could we not read out the message
no, I'm
then?
not going to read it out. Yeah. But I wasn't in the space, in the mental space at that time to go on a date because I was actually getting over someone. And then a lot was happening in my life at that point. I sort of I was just like, very kind offer, but I'm not in the space right now.
No, it was a very nice way to let you down. I think someone in that position could have been very dismissive and just blocked or ignored or, but I was like, it lived up. They say never meet your heroes. And that's going to happen a lot near your story because I had the idea of who you are, and the more I got to know you and interact with you, it only got better, right? So like when you responded, I was like, wow, she really is that person behind, all the tweets and everything. She does interact with people that way. And I just remember being so grateful that you even responded. And that closed that chapter. And I went and told my buddy, hey, I cooled those bricks, and but it wasn't that bad. It was like bricks light, And I was super happy. I got to shoot my shot, and she turned out to be, even though she didn't respond positively, she turned out to be just as great, just as kind, and just as sweet as I'd hoped she would be, So, perfect ending, I thought.
You thought.
And
So, the thing that impressed me about the way that you took that rejection was how polite you are about it. And I think that's what stuck in my mind because a lot of times people will either get rude or just be I don't know, maybe not rude, but standoffish after that. But the fact that you were so polite, I feel like that's such a nice tactic, because I walked away from that interaction being like, this guy sounds like really nice and really cool and very mature. What happened after
You slid in my DM.
that?
How long later? Like weeks.
That was me. No, we had another interaction.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Really?
Yeah, you responded to one of my
Look at me, trying my best.
tweets.
Oh my God,
Then
what
again,
a stalker.
you just kept sliding in. But you kept reaching out in very nice ways that made me not forget you, number one, and then think, this sounds like a very genuine person. And so finally, that's when I slid into your DMs in August. So that's like June, July, maybe like 3 months after we had the conversation about the dinner. And this time, I was the one who was like, hey, if that offer still stands, I'm ready.
I remember seeing that and being completely over the moon, like super excited that you would even do that. And I just remember thinking, there's some idiot that's messed up here. And I'm gonna take full advantage. And yeah, and then we agreed to meet up. And then the funny thing is we started texting. No. We started we messaged a bit on Twitter, right?
Yes.
And then somewhere in the middle of it was like, yes, we're gonna meet up. Somewhere in the middle of it, you tweeted that you'd had a really rough day. And I remember I was at a work meeting and I was having tea. So it was like a coffee meeting, but I was having tea. And I saw that and I said, I have to do something. And in the middle of this, I was on my phone, sending texts and whatever, I was trying to get a care package to you. And I messaged you and I said, hey, it sounds like you need some, a pick
Okay.
me up or something like that. And I told you, you don't have to give me your number. Send your number. Call this number. They will find you and etc. And it didn't go to plan exactly. And I remember that, at some point I had to tell you, hey, even though you give me a number, I will not use it for anything other than this delivery. And yeah, you got the care package.
This part, I have wondered whether it was game or whether it was genuine, and I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. Because it's too perfect. It's too perfect. Let me explain. Usually when a guy is trying to get somewhere with you, even though, I mean, there's obviously an intention that someone has for connecting with you. With you, I couldn't tell if it was like, this guy just wants to get into my pants, or this guy just wants to, like, it was a mystery. And then on top of that, you seem to have such good boundaries, because how is it that you get my phone number and you're like, I'm never going to use it, and you never used it until I told you, until I gave you permission to use it. So I'm like, is that like some kind of manipulation tactic?
No.
Or is that, I've questioned that, because that just feels
Someone in
different.
your position, when you put yourself out there, you make yourself very vulnerable. And I can imagine many times you give someone an inch and they take a mile. And in order for us to build trust, for you to meet a stranger off the internet, I had to show you that I was going to take the inch you give me. So if you tell me that sounded really bad, but yes. So I was going to I was going to operate in the space that you gave me. And if you gave me this little circle and you told me operate in this space, then I was going to operate in that space. So I just didn't want you at any point to doubt that, because you're taking a risk as well. I could have been an axe murderer. I could have been even worse, a politician, right? So I had to sort of build trust, and it wasn't game to get you the care package, but I will say your reaction after made me feel like, that was a really good move, because I felt like I was buttering you up for dinner, and yeah, it worked out perfect.
Yeah, when someone treats you with that level of care and makes an effort to take care of your safety in that way, it makes you feel very safe. And that's what I felt. Coupled with the care package, I just felt like this person is, I don't know them, but they're already starting to take care of me. It was so weird. And heightened by the fact that it was such a beautiful care package. And then it's sent to the office. And then all my workmates are just like, who is, what's happening? And I'm just like, I mean, it was so much that I had to intentionally dial down. I thought that I dialed down my reaction when I thanked you for it, because I was like, this is, it was just a really beautiful experience for me. And I was walking on clouds that day. And it genuinely brightened up my day. So after that, I was certain that I wanted to meet you. Like I'd already said I would, but at that point I was like, I think I really want to get to know this person because this is very different.
And then you agreed to meeting me on a certain day. Bookings were made, excitement was built, and last minute, you pulled out,
Yeah.
like maybe a few hours before, the afternoon before. I remember getting that text message, and I think I told you I'm happy to wait, and it was worth the wait. So, I just remember saying, you know what, let's not mess this up. You're lucky to be here. So just relax, And then the day finally came, and I was like, is she gonna dodge again? And you didn't dodge this time. And so I remember, swimming in cologne, and making sure that I was looking correct. And I showed up, and I was early, and you were late, and you were very kind about, you were very nice in the sense that you apologized for being late. And then should I say what happened next? So I'm sitting here in the corner of this restaurant, and I think you messaged and you said, I'm here, or I'm getting out of my Uber. And I just remember sitting there, and I was like, oh shit, here we go. All right. And then you turned the corner, and I just remember saying in my head, legs. And I literally looked like it was like the movies, when you go from the bottom to the top. And I just, your dress was amazing. You looked incredible. And the first thing I saw was your legs, and I just said, oh my God, And I was stressed. And I remember, I think the waiter was carrying your jacket. And so you were just, to you were walking to me, you were strutting your stuff in slow motion. And I just remember looking all the way up, and your hair was full, and I was like, it's her, And you came to the table, and you're like, I was like, do we hug? And you're like, yeah, let's hug. And we hugged, and you sat down, and there she was in all her glory, sitting in front of me. The woman that I'd been thinking about and stalking online. And again, they say never meet your heroes. But I saw you, and you were even more beautiful in person. And I'm not just saying that, genuinely, it's the truth. And I just remember looking, sitting across the table, saying, oh my God, she is gorgeous, And you looked amazing. And I think that's when. Now I think it. I realize it was anxiety, but that's when, I started getting anxious and, but you were fantastic. And the funny thing is, we talked so much before that dinner that when we started talking, it's like we were picking up where we left off, just that we were in person and I was trying to stay focused on the conversation and not trying to absorb how pretty and how beautiful you are, So, yeah.
For me, after the whole emotional maturity and intelligence of that care package story, and then finally getting to chat with you on WhatsApp, and it was almost nonstop once we started. It was just like conversation was flowing. And then the way you handled me canceling the date the first time, and it was because I had this family issue that I had to deal with, but you were just so great about it because you were like, "It's okay, we'll plan." My interest had been picked so much in those maybe I don't know how many weeks it was. I remember that day when I was getting ready, and my friend, one of my best friends, had come over because we had spent the day in Karura together, and then I told her about, this guy who had sent me a care package and blah 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 blah. And, when I was getting ready, I remember I was putting on my makeup and she's like, "Are you nervous?" And I wasn't. I think I was just so curious because I was just like, finally, I get to meet this weird person. Doesn't seem real, and I kept wondering, like, what's he going to look like and what is he going to sound like? And am I going to regret going to dinner? I typically don't do dinner as a first meeting because I feel like it's so intense. If it's coffee, it's like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. You can gauge and how a person is, and within an hour, leave politely enough. But that's not how it is with dinner. You're committing to hours with this person. But I felt like already with the conversation was going to be okay. So I get to the restaurant, and first of all, the hostess is like, "Okay, just wait there." And that's when I started to feel nervous because I was like, "Oh my God." And I remember when I was being brought to the table, it's interesting that for me, the thing that I also said to myself was legs, because you have very long legs. I just remember seeing this table that seemed like small, and this person on that table, and it was just like length. Like, that's what I remember. And I was like, "Oh my God, this person is tall." So I walk up to you, and I was so awkward. Oh my God, I was so awkward. I was just like, first of all, the waiter was carrying my jacket, and then I'm just like, "Where do I put it?" So I take it to drape it over the chair, and then you're like, no, get her a coat hanger or something like that." And I'm trying to absorb everything because you stand up and then you're like 7 feet tall. And I mean, I couldn't even allow myself to process how attractive you are in that moment, because you are attractive. Because I just felt like all of my senses, and I remember the scent of your cologne as well. And then I was like, "Nice suit. God, dark, tall, beautiful man." I'm just like, "Okay, just calm down, focus, sit down." And then I sat down, and you made me feel at ease very easily because you, from the moment I sat down, it was just like jokes. And you forced me to order for you. Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't even remember what you ordered, but all I know is that it was simple, and I really like. I was like, okay, she sort of gets me, like without even knowing anything about me, you knew that I didn't have a very complex palate, and
Which I think was also very nice because we had this like shared joke that was happening, and so I relaxed into it, and the conversation just flowed from there as it had been. Time went by so fast because it felt like we started talking, and then the restaurant was empty.
pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the restaurant gets empty. You've ordered for me, right? Fantastic choices, of course. We get the bill and it's time to leave. And I think we walk out and we're talking, and I think there's always that, let me speak from a man's perspective, there's always that question of how do you say goodbye? And I remember thinking to myself, she is so pretty and this was so much fun. You know, don't mess this up, you know, by trying to do anything. And in my mind, I was happy to play the long game because you lived up to my expectations and even went beyond my expectations in terms of just who you were as a person. But as soon as we got closer to your car, your energy to me changed. So I asked you, can I have a hug? And I think you thought that a hug was a segue into something else. And I just remember the most awkward hug and leaving that situation feeling like, what a fantastic date, but what a messed up way to say goodbye. And immediately I got in the car. I called my friend and I said, she's amazing. And I kept saying, she's so amazing. And I'm not exaggerating, I'm not trying to make you feel nice. I kept saying, she's even better than what I expected. And he was like, what? And I just kept saying, she's amazing. And I kept this guy on the phone for like 30 minutes, just telling him about how great you are, you know? And I mean, it was a bad way to say goodbye, but the rest of the date was just incredible. Fantastic experience.
Yeah, I was very nervous at the time when we were saying goodbye because I didn't know what I wanted, just the build up of everything and then how amazing the date was. So as we're walking to the car, we were talking, but I was having this whole internal dialogue of like, oh my God, do I want to kiss this guy? I don't know. Do I want him to kiss me? What if he kisses me? Am I ready? Like, I was just like freaking out. We get to the car. It's interesting that you say my energy changed because I felt like your energy changed. So I don't know if you perceived my energy changing and then your energy changed. I don't know what happened. But it was a very awkward hug. I think the amazing date overshadowed everything else. So that felt like it was just the tiniest thing. It didn't affect anything or didn't change anything that had happened before that.
And I think, you know, even a little detail like the type of car that you were driving, you know, to me was so interesting because it aligns with some of my hobbies, right? So I was like, she's cool. Like, I mean, you know, she has really interesting taste and et cetera. I just remember a really long, lovely ride home, smiling from ear to ear, saying, that just happened. You know, those ones where you sort of ask yourself, like, was I dreaming? You know, how is it that she's even better than what I expected her to be? I didn't think that was possible. And then there you were in the flesh. And I quickly knew that I wanted to see you again and, you know, pick up where we left off. Yeah.
I think you locked that down during the date itself. You did this annoying thing that whiskey drinkers do, or whiskey lovers, where you were like, "Do you like whiskey?" And I'm like, "I hate whiskey. It's the most disgusting taste." And you were like, "That's because you haven't had good whiskey." And so you tell me how you the next weekend I have to make time because you're going to take me to this whiskey bar, and then you're like, "But of course we have to eat before we go for whiskey." So you set up the second date and during the first date.
That's called risk management. So I was hedging my bets before you went and thought through the date and decided you weren't going to see me again for a reason one reason or the other. So I think, you know, like again, being able to quickly want to see you again and share more experiences with you and take you somewhere that I really enjoy and show you something that I really enjoy speaks volumes about how much fun we had. Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun. It was a fantastic date. And yeah, just wanted to see you. Yeah.
So now the second date.
So the second date, I wanted to take you on an experience. So I took you to eat somewhere. And when we walked in, really nice restaurant. But the problem was, there was this guy playing the saxophone, and he kept walking through the restaurant the entire time. And you're trying to, this beautiful woman you just met a few days ago walks in, and she's in a dress, and she looks so nice, and you have a bit more confidence this time, so you tell her you're looking beautiful, you're being a bit more flirtatious, because we've been talking through the week. And then this guy just walks past the table, blaring his little saxophone, and I'm just like, you're really spoiling what I'm trying to do. So, do you want to say what happened next?
How you put me on the spot.
Yes.
So you decide to call the sax player,
Yes.
and you're like, this is her favorite song. Already, like, because I was feeling it, I'm like, why is this guy walking around the restaurant? This is so annoying, and it was just so loud. And so he proceeds to stand there and play
The entire song.
the entire song, and I'm supposed to be loving this.
And you are just staring at me, mortified. The whole restaurant is looking at us because the sax guy is literally standing at the top of the table, just looking at us and playing, and he thinks he's, serenading you and everything. And you just kept looking at me and mouthing and saying, "I hate you. What are you doing?" Like you were so upset. And I remember reaching over, and I think I held your hand or something, and I was just making you uncomfortable. But everybody was staring at you, and you just wanted to crawl under the table and hide and never come out again. But it was the best 3 minutes ever.
Oh, good.
So we had this dinner. Again, we realized how playful we were, and then it was time to take you for the whiskey tasting, and I took you to my special place. Yeah.
Yeah, I still wondered if that was game.
To tell the guy to stop.
Listen, humor is a very powerful tool for making people relax and feel safe and feel open. I mean, why do you think funny guys get laid as much as they do? You know, but there's something about humor and laughing, and especially if it's a shared experience, that makes you feel more open and more relaxed. So we had already been talking, and the conversation was still really good. It hadn't gotten flirty. Yeah, if I remember correctly, like there was no, it hadn't gotten flirty yet up until that day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that day, the energy was different. It was just like, first of all, with you were more relaxed, and then I could feel the interest more clearly than I did the first time. Now I started to feel attracted to you, and especially after that, because playfulness is a thing for me. Like, I love it. So by the time we were heading to the whiskey bar, I was already kind of sure that I wanted to explore like something physically with you, but I didn't know, like the interest had just started forming. I didn't think it was going to be that night, but I felt like, okay, I think I'm actually attracted to this guy. And we get to this place, and again, another thing that I wondered whether it was game, because there's no sign outside. It feels like these, what are these bars called? When there was,
Speaking.
yes, like a speakeasy. It happened to be centered around something that you're very passionate about. Which is another thing, because when you watch someone talk about something that they're passionate about, it lights them up and they tend to be more attractive. So I'm sitting there listening to you and the owner of the bar talk about whiskey and this whiskey and that whiskey, and you're so into the conversation, you're so passionate about this thing that I was just like, I don't get it. But I loved watching you interact with him and go on and on about whiskey. And then you start to do this thing. We're sipping whiskey, and then
Whiskey that you don't like.
I mean, but I finished the drink.
Very nice whiskey.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was pricey, but I finished it, and I appreciated that, you know, there were different tastes and flavors and all that. But I start to notice that you keep doing this thing where you would start to reach for my hand and then you pull back. And the first time it happened, I thought, okay, I'm seeing things. And then you did it again, and I was like, what's this? And it felt like you were restraining yourself from doing something. That in itself was strangely hot.
I think it was the fact that remember the circle that you gave me to play in, you hadn't given me permission to step outside that circle, either explicitly or implicitly, right? So I think for me, it was, I wouldn't want her to feel like I'm going past the boundaries that she set. But at the same time, the space that we were in, the conversations that we'd had, how much fun I was having. Again, you looked amazing. Realizing that you didn't just look amazing that day. You really do look this way all the time. And, you know, the conversation was just flowing. It felt like I'd known you for ages, right? And so, obviously, for me, I said, I was thinking to myself, I want to get to know this person in an intimate way as well. Because if this is how our conversations play out on more than one occasion, I can only imagine what our other interactions would be like, right? So I would want to reach out and hold your hand because, you know, really nice, deep, interesting conversation. And it just felt natural. But then I'd sort of have to hold back because I felt like if I did that, I'd be going against your wishes. And I didn't want anything to spoil that moment or spoil the little trust that I'd built up with you. So that's what it was. It wasn't intentional. To me, I thought it was, you know, and I actually remember you saying, "Are you okay? Like, why do you keep pulling yourself back up, back and forth?" And I explained myself, and you said, "It's okay, we can hold hands." And I remember your hands were cold.
They always are.
Yeah, and I remember that was the first time we broke that physical barrier in that way. And now we were sitting at this special place for me, holding hands, and you know, the lights were low. And yeah.
Yeah.
So then you hated your whiskey.
I didn't hate it.
And then it was time to go home. Or so we thought.
You know, the first time that now, like you held my hand after I gave you permission, it felt so erotic. It felt like being a teenager again, experiencing something for the first time. That's what it felt like. When you held my hand, then I was like, oh, I actually think I want to take this guy home with me. But then again, I'm like, okay, I don't know him, and I don't know he wants to do that. But for me, the most fascinating thing was, do you remember how when we got into the car and then the conversation just changed? Was like nice and proper, although there was attraction in the bar, but when we got into the car,
It went left pretty fast.
yeah, I don't even remember how that happened. Like, what opened the door?
I had no clue, but all I know is by the time we got to our destination,
Yeah.
the conversation had taken a turn that was very unexpected. And I just remember, like, when you started talking about doing that conversation about, preferences and ideas, thoughts, and fantasies, whatever, I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, I am in the right place. This is, this is something that I really want to do. And the conversation in the car got very, very heated. And, just driving, trying to keep it on the road, trying to act cool. But I think by that moment, he probably realized this guy is very attractive to me physically and as well. So by the time we got to where we were going, someone was hyperventilating.
Yeah.
Do you want to say who it was?
Wasn't it you?
Yes,
Yes.
it
I actually was worried because keep in mind, I don't think we mentioned this. The first date.
was.
Yes, sorry, you had mentioned it. Yes, the anxiety thing. Like you seem to be having some kind of
Episode.
episode. I was a little worried that first date. So then we're having this like intense, hot conversation on the way as you're dropping me home. And that day I didn't drive. So you're dropping me, and at some point you start breathing so heavy that I was like, "Oh my God, is something happening? Is he okay?" Only to realize that it was what, desire?
Yeah, it was that little circle that I was dying to break out of, It's like the conversation was so heated and he looked so calm. And it took so much not to jump across the car and attack you. So it was again that circle trying to stay within what made you comfortable. And then I think you realized what was happening. And then you did the most beautiful thing you've ever done, which was you invited me up.
Now,
Didn't you invite me up?
you said something, and
What did I say?
this line is something that I said it at nothing underneath, and again, the audience just went wild. When I heard what you said, I remember telling myself I'm going to want to remember this because we had been talking about preferences, like you said, and there was an overlap in things that I liked and the things that you liked,
Yes.
and it had gotten detailed. And so when we pull up downstairs and you're hyperventilating in between breaths, you told me, "I want to take you upstairs and I want to do the things that we've been talking about to you, and I don't want to ask for permission." Just the reaction in my body, like that was the cream on top of this buildup that had been happening, and it was feeling emotional safety, playfulness, just this. It felt like you had been, and this is going to sound weird, but it felt like you had been fucking me in different ways that had nothing to do with fucking, because it was like you opened, you made me feel safe. So I opened up emotionally, and then the conversations were so mentally engaging. So I'm feeling that mental connection. And then here comes the beginnings of the physical connection. You feel so connected. And then you do this badass thing of just taking charge and, dominating and being like, "I want to take you upstairs." Now I started to hyperventilate because in between my breaths, I was like, "Don't ask." So you came out of the car and you came around to my side, opened my car door, and then you gave me your hand and pulled me out of the car. And then I brought you upstairs.
And that's where it ends.
Is
I
that where it ends? We're not going to talk about what happened after.
you already, yeah.
It
So the long journey upstairs started. And how deep are you going on this?
How comfortable are you?
So we get to the door and you pull out your key and you fumble it into the keyhole and we get inside. And we didn't make it more than like 10 centimeters from the door. So I just remember
kissing you.
Yeah.
And it was so intense. You were breathing heavy and I was breathing heavy. And biting on your neck, biting on your shoulder. And then I remember turning you around and putting you on the wall. And I remember kissing you in different ways and different places. All the way down your back. And I remember that went on. And at some point we ended up on the carpet. And we just stayed on the carpet for what felt like an eternity. And then I just remember thinking, this feels so intense, so overwhelming, and feels so good right now. You know, those moments where, you know, like athletes talk about when you're in the zone, like you see nothing but what you're doing in that moment, right? It was one of those few times when, in my life where, because my mind is very jumpy, there was nothing happening outside of that. I was fully invested in that moment and fully invested in wanting to give you pleasure and fully invested in and grateful for receiving the pleasure that I was getting from you and also in the act of giving you pleasure. And it was so intense, very intense. Very.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. I just felt so engaged, fully engaged with you. And like you said, fully present with you. And I don't think I have ever felt that comfortable that fast with someone, because there was nothing about it that felt awkward or strange. It felt new, but it felt natural.
Yeah.
So in a way, it felt familiar. It felt like this is something that we had been doing for years, but with the intensity of the first time. I just remember having moments where, because sometimes we'd have to take a break also just for you to breathe. But I remember having moments that almost felt like out-of-body experiences, because I'd just be like taking a step back mentally, looking at this and being like, how? How? How is this happening? It felt dreamlike. The way my body was responding to you, because I'm also a person, it takes time for me to warm up to someone, but it felt like my body also knew you. It was so beautiful. And yes, very intense.
It's like walking into your dream house and knowing where the bathroom is, knowing where the kitchen is, in the sense that we had so much overlap that, you know, yes, there was a conversation beforehand, but there were things that were happening in that moment that had nothing to do with anything we'd discussed, but just felt right and perfect in that moment. And my body responded in certain ways, your body responded in certain ways. And it just felt like it kept happening and we just kept going. And it was like, I never wanted it to end. And it felt like we were at it for a very long time, you know?
Yeah.
And I typically don't enjoy being in other people's spaces. I like being in control of my space and then welcoming someone into my space. But again, in your space, for some weird reason, I felt comfortable. I was probably just too taken by what was happening to actually even care where I was. Very few times do you end up connecting with someone in an intimate manner in that way and having that quality of that connection. Because you felt like you said, we were connecting on a physical level. There was the emotion to it. We were also being playful. There was also this raunchy sort of aggression to it, and we're connecting on so many different levels. It was like, where has she been and how can I keep feeling this way, and when I hope it doesn't stop, you know. It was amazing.
I was. I think I want to ask you, why did you want to tell your side of this story?
While back, I told you, yeah, sure, if you don't want to share anything, go ahead. And I just remember feeling like when and I said, I want to read what you said, I want to see the video. And you said, oh, I wrote down what I wanted to say, so this is sort of what I said, so read it through. And I read it through and I said, well, I want to say, I just wanted to say my side of it because I felt like there were details you missed. But when I sit down and think about it, it's just because it was such a great experience that I wanted to confirm that it was that amazing and that you weren't someone in a silo, that this was a special experience that happened between two people that was memorable. It doesn't even seem to do it justice, but memorable in so many ways. And so I think I just really wanted to confirm that and also to say, yeah, it was that good. Like, trust me, this was something out of a movie. And I just remember waking up in the morning next to you. And obviously we went back to it, and just for me, it was just to confirm that this actually happened. And I remember being so shocked that I was in your space, and I was like, I mean, I fell asleep here, And I remember leaving your space and still being in shock that it happened, but also just wanting to come back and confirm, all the things that I'd felt. But thank you for allowing me to confirm how amazing it was. Have you ever been in a situation where someone is telling a really funny story and you were there and you want to be like, I also want to chime in? That's what it was. But I think you did our story justice. I mean, you missed out the good parts, but you did our story justice.
It actually it means a lot to me that you wanted to tell your side of the story. I've gotten questions about whether this was a real thing, or just being like, oh, that doesn't sound real. It sounds a little too perfect. I've also had questions of people asking, who was it? Share this person's handle. Where can they be found? Which I'm not going to do. Hearing it back from you also, in a way, confirms to me, because sometimes I think about it, I'm like, am I making it up to be more than it actually was? Like, am I hyping it up? Is this like rose-colored glasses because I want to remember it in a particular way? But it really was as amazing as I remember it. First of all, this experience for me, to be honest, is well, probably my top experiences. It's definitely up there. What it showed me was the magic of what can happen when you open yourself up to life and to the universe and you take a chance. Because it could have gone either way. We could have met and it would have been awkward. And but the fact that it ended up being such an amazing experience just reminds me that life is about taking those chances and being open, because you never know what amazing things can come of that.
True. Future shot. Future shot, and wear your heart on your sleeve and don't be afraid of rejection. Even there were so many parts of the story where I was like, if it ends here, this has been amazing for me. And I think that's how you know it's something really special. And you're a very special person. And I'm very happy that I got to meet you and to got to know you. It feels like such a privilege. And thank you for letting me in your space and giving me the chance to discover the person behind the Twitter persona. And I assure everyone she's even more incredible than you think. And she's such a special soul. And you guys take her for granted. Hey, you guys take her for granted big time. She's a truly special person. Don't slide in her DM. It's full now. She's incredible, and she's all that in a bag of chips. And she's even more beautiful in person. Even more beautiful in person. She's smiling right now. And that smile is, it really warms your heart. So if you ever get to meet her, try and make her smile. Make her laugh.
and then you'll see what I mean. So, yeah. She's a special one. So can we go back to doing what we were doing?
So that's it for this episode of The Inner Space Explorer. Thank you so much for listening. Please feel free to connect with me on my social media pages at innerspace.explorer on Instagram, at Tarure on Twitter, Tarure Gatere on Facebook, and I also have a YouTube channel under the name Inner Space Explorer, as well as a blog where I write some of my random thoughts, and that is on taruregatere.wordpress.com. I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode, and I am sending you so much love. Please remember, above everybody else, you deserve your own unconditional love and acceptance. See you in the next episode.